Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Bill Snebelin, who has certainly had an interesting life. He's been a witch, and he's been into Masonry and Satanism, and then, of course, he came to know the Lord and dropped out and is doing everything he can to educate the American people about the very real threat that comes from the dark side today. Bill, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, I appreciate it. Is your wife feeling better?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I'm so glad. And Bill was supposed to be on with us before, but his wife wasn't well. Well, why don't you tell our listeners who do not know you or haven't heard you before a little bit about your background, and how did you get started in witchcraft?
Well, basically, I was raised a devout Catholic and wanted to be a priest, and ended up going to college and minor seminary to do that. And while I was there, I ran into some liberal professors, liberal theologians, who basically told me that Christ was someone who'd gone and studied the occult. You know, he'd gone to the gurus in India and gone to the Egyptian magicians and all this, and that I was supposed to do that if I wanted to be Christ-like. I should study the occult. And, I mean, what did I know? I didn't know a lot about the Bible. I was a kid. I was like 18 or 19, and so that's what I did, and I started reading up on the occult. And, you know, by 1968, 1969, I kind of figured out that the way to go was to become a witch. So I contacted the guy who was the king of the witches at the time over in London, and we arranged that I would eventually go to Boston and get initiated as a witch. And that's more or less how I got started in it. And, of course, as probably a lot of your listeners understand, it's like, you know, letting the nose of the camel into the tent. Even though white witchcraft seems fairly benign, and indeed most witches are nice people and they're good people, but they're lost people. But then gradually I started getting into deeper stuff, and I started getting into the darker stuff, and on the advice of one of my gurus, one of my mentors, if you will, a very high-ranking druid, I joined the Freemasons because he told me that would be something that I would benefit from as an esotericist, as an occultist. Then later on I got involved in Satanism, and both the Church of Satan, and then later on hardcore Satanism. And then, you know, finally on my way out, so to speak, I got involved in Mormonism for 5 years. So it's been quite a spiritual pilgrimage.
Well, I appreciate so much that you at least had the opportunity to be there, because I think it helps for you to be able to explain to our listeners something about witchcraft. And my understanding is that when you're a witch, of course, they say they're white witches and black witches, good witches and bad witches, and you certainly don't want to be a bad witch, but even the good witches are tapping into the supernatural, aren't they?
Oh, yes. That's usually the core of most witch covens is to try and do supernatural things, to develop psychic powers. And
I had a witch write to me and say that what she wanted to do was try to tap the personalities from another dimension, or tap into another dimension. What was she talking about?
Well, see, that's they're trying to sound more science fictiony, more less like they're writing out of old black magic workbooks. I mean, she's talking about contacting demons.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest this afternoon, Bill Snebelin. I think you'll find it fascinating as we explore from firsthand experience the dark side that is such a dominant force in our society today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Snebelin, and Bill has been a witch, He has been a Mason. He has been into Satanism. He got into Mormonism. Eventually he found the Lord, and now he has a ministry with One Accord and trying to get people to understand what's really going on in the world today. And he has fascinating stories to tell about almost everything. Before we the people who are with KKMC were joining us, came aboard. Well, he was telling us that witches many times are trying to actually contact beings from another dimension. Of course, they don't understand there's actually demons that they're trying to contact. Would that be a fair statement, Bill?
Well, yes, because in a sense you could certainly say that the spirit world is that hell is another dimension. It's just not a dimension you'd really want to be involved in.
Right. And I think that the average individual really doesn't even understand that there is another dimension there. There is a dimension we live in, and there is a spiritual dimension there where the angels and the demons and this great spiritual battle is being fought out. And you find references to this repeatedly in the Old Testament. Yet today people say this just couldn't be true. That sounds too science fiction. But it's not science fiction at all, is it, Bill?
No, it's absolute reality. And the only difference is that since the beginnings of what is coming to be known as the New Age movement in the late 70s and early 80s, these people have learned to talk in more pseudoscientific terms. And, you know, so they don't sound quite so weird and spooky and everything, but it's the same old thing.
And it's this effort to tap into the supernatural power, the demonic power that is out there that can give you great wealth and power and success, but at the risk of your eternal soul. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you see, they feel they can't get it from God, and so they'll get it from whatever person or personage that they can, and they're perfectly willing. They think they're worshiping like a god and a goddess, but actually behind the mask of that god and goddess is, in fact, Satan. And they just don't understand that.
And the big problem in Christianity today is that this idea of Satan is such an abstract idea. Most Christians really don't believe that there's a Satan, or that most of them, many of them, don't even still believe in hell. After all, that's sort of outmoded in our scientific age. Why, who could ever imagine being tortured throughout eternity? And yet that's exactly what it says in the Bible, isn't it?
Well, sure.
We're going to have to interrupt you there. We want to get our stations back on board right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Bill Schnepplin, who's had a fascinating life, tapping into the occult, first as a witch and then as a Mason. Of course, he didn't realize when he was a Mason what this is really all about, but he got into the upper echelons of Masonry and the satanic realms, and then, of course, he had an opportunity to meet probably the most evil man of the last century, a man named Manly P. Hall. Wasn't he one of your mentors?
Yes, he was. He, toward the end there, he was giving me a lot of information and sort of training me when I got into the lower levels of the Illuminati.
All right, would you like to tell a little bit about the story he told you about the world wars that we were going to have? Didn't he tell you what was in the early 80s, that there'd be a third world war?
Yes. They have, when I say they, I mean the Brotherhood, the Illuminati. They have all of this planned out, and there's documents in the British Museum you can find that will tell you that they had, you know, like First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam, etc. All of these things were planned out like more than 150 years ago, at least, maybe even before that. And they had Gulf War number one on the map. They had the Bosnian conflict, and they had planned for 2002 that the United States would go in and invade Iraq. They didn't mention at the time that it would be because of an airplane or airplanes crashing into skyscrapers or something, but they did plan that. And of course, at this point, we find out that plan has sort of been derailed, because we did, of course, eventually invade Iraq in early 2003, and the results, of course, are now history, and we're still struggling with that. But it was the plan of the Illuminati that during that invasion that Saddam would in fact attack us back with chemical or biological agents and lay waste to our country with like a terrorist type thing, and then while we were vulnerable, so to speak, that Russia would attack us with nuclear weapons.
Well, of course, that isn't the way it happened at all. No. So even the best laid plans of the Satanists sometimes go astray, thank goodness. But I really fear that this war we're involved in is not going to be just simply a simple little thing. I think that we're succeeding in antagonizing the Muslims of the world. The whole Muslim world now is increasingly turning against the United States because they look upon us as crusaders having invaded their holy land. They didn't ask us to come in and liberate the people of Iraq. They know that the issue of weapons of mass destruction was a phony issue because they know that the United States sold Saddam Hussein the wherewithal to manufacture the weapons of mass destruction. In fact, that was covered very well on 60 Minutes last night, because we've known it for a long time. But where do you see things going now? Do you have any idea?
Well, in terms of my prior insider knowledge, of course, it's a little bit, you know, off the tracks, but I do know that the devil isn't going to give up, and I think that there's definitely, you know, he wants to, above all else, he wants to bring America to its knees, because if we can be kind of put out of action, then he knows he can go after Israel, and that's his big goal, that's his prize, is to be able to, you know, take over Jerusalem and to sit his man in the temple there and all of that, you know, just as it says will happen in the book of Revelations and you know, Second Thessalonians. So, you know, that's what he is working towards. And if he can't do it one way, he may do it another way, because we know there are terrorists operating in this country. We have no idea at this point as to what is, you know, what kind of weapons or viruses or whatever they might have, because that's where we're most vulnerable. I mean, our healthcare system is already kind of a joke, and if we tax it by introducing some sort of thing like Ebola or whatever it might be, you know, we're going to end up with some very major problems on our hands.
Well, I certainly share your concern that America is so vulnerable. We're not doing any of the logical things. We're not trying to seal our borders. And we're certainly anybody who suggests that we should arm our pilots on our planes, or we should have, you know, marshals on every plane, or that we should, for instance, not allow the cockpit door to be unlocked at all during the flights. None of these things are being done. In fact, we don't even have any means of distracting shouldered air missiles that could be fired at our planes. And they've delayed for 2.5 years doing what they could have done right after September 11th, because the technology was there. They have them on the Israeli planes. We just can't figure out how to do it. And I don't believe that for one minute. I think that they are leaving our planes specifically vulnerable. I think that they are leaving our borders open so the terrorists can get into this country. And but they don't dare let the American people know that, because, of course, then they might be asking why. And that is the most frightening thing. I think if we can ever get the American people to think about what's going on and get to understand the spiritual battle, why, who knows, they might even begin to wake up. There might even be another great revival in this country, as we had in the 1830s. We had here in 1740, about every 100 years we have a great revival. But it's about time we're going to get one, or I'm very seriously concerned about the future of this nation. What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Yes, amen. That's the only thing that's going to save this country. I mean, because as you said, I mean, our defenses in the physical plane just aren't there, and our defense must be in the Lord. But in order to do that, we have to get our country back on the right track. You know, we have to be solidly praying for revival. We have to repent. We have to turn from our sins, and, you know, even as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, we have to turn from our sins and be sincerely repentant, and Christians need to get serious about their faith.
And yet I see a great apostasy moving across through our churches today as we begin to change the message in the music of the church to make it more palatable. We're told that a great apostasy will come before the lawless one, the man of lawlessness will come. And as I see what's going on in America, I really am very concerned. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, you see lawlessness everywhere. I mean, and not even just in the obvious things like the gay marriage thing, and of course the highly symbolic thing with the Ten Commandments, but in even more subtle areas, you know, I'm understanding that from what I'm reading that you know, basically Christians are getting divorced more often than our non-Christians, that a lot of Christian young people think it's perfectly okay to have premarital sex. I mean, it's like, you know, the Ten Commandments have become the Ten Suggestions. and even among people who supposedly follow the Bible, identify themselves as evangelical Christians. They're practicing a kind of cafeteria Christianity where they pick up what they want and they leave alone what they don't want in terms of the Bible.
Well, you know, it was so interesting. Apparently, there were a couple of people in the pornographic film industry who'd come down with AIDS. So they've suspended making all pornographic films, at least temporarily, to make sure that nobody else there who participates in these orgies that are put on film. What was surprising to me was that there are more than 200 film studios in Southern California involved in making pornographic films. That's 200 of them, and we're shipping these films all over the world. They're available on our internet. At one time, the local community was able to control access to pornography, and they did a pretty good job of it. And thanks to our Supreme Court, which took away the ability of the local community to do anything, we're where we are today. And America is the center of pushing smut and depravity all throughout the world. And I can't imagine that God is very, very pleased with that. And the fact that the church won't even speak up against it, I think there's even more of a concern.
Yes, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we have pornography, we have abortion, we have, you know, just in so many areas where this country is just thumbing its nose at God. And I don't know how much. I think it's because there is a faithful remnant of Christians that are crying out for the sins of this country and are crying out to God to save us. But man alive, I mean, it seems like the majority of people in this country just don't care.
Well, what about the occult? What part does the occult play in encouraging depravity and immorality in our society?
Well, of course, part of it is just that there's you know, the idea in the occult is I can manipulate reality. I can, you know, make things happen the way I want, whereas in Christianity, the idea is I pray and I ask the Lord, and if it's His will, He gives me things. So the occult, by its very nature, is very selfish. It's very self-oriented. And, of course, the ultimate goal in magic is basically to become your own god, which is, of course, what Lucifer promised Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, if they would become like gods. So, you know, this whole thing feeds into this, and that's why you see so many people now, they're spiritually hungry, they find Christianity boring or too restrictive, and so therefore, instead, they are simply, you know, going out and they're picking up every book they can find on New Age gobbledygook, and they're trying to manipulate reality because they don't like the reality that they're seeing. And that's the really the ultimate kind of selfishness. Because if you look at the New Age movement, it's all me, me, me. It's all selfishness, it's all navel-gazing, and it's all about self-improvement, you know. And God is not interested in that sort of thing. God wants us to be His servants. He doesn't necessarily want us to, you know, do the things that are involved in the New Age, because those things will open up doorways for demonic attack. Hello?
Yes, the question was, you know, what about the pornography and, what about the occult? Does that actually encourage pornography and depravity?
Yes, I think it does, because, of course, a lot of witchcraft and the satanic wing of the occult is involved in sexuality and worshiping, you know, the sexual principle. You have sex magic, you have tantra, and things like this, and all these things make people more likely to be involved in various kinds of sexual practices that are forbidden in the Bible. And now, I mean, in our day we didn't have this, but now there are even gay witch covens where everybody's all male or all female.
Well, we live in a world gone mad. We'll be back here in just a moment or two with our guest, Bill Snebelin, who doesn't simply speak about these things from a theoretical point of view. He lived this for many years. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. A
very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And this is Dr. Stan. Let me remind you, we're going to have our yearly seminar. It's going to be here in Santa Cruz on November 6th. Be sure to... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Bill Snevlin, and we're talking about the whole issue of occultism and how it impacts on our society today. And I don't think that the average individual is aware at all of the relationship between what the increasing depravity we have, the attack on prayer and mention of God in our schools. There is a satanic effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this once great Christian nation. Everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. And today, if you dare say that, you'll be attacked by all of the major means of communication, saying there's just no foundation, and yet this was the very foundation of our society. Now, Bill, what's the relationship between this occultism and this massive environmental movement? We just had Earth Day. It just happened to be Lenin's birthday. We celebrated in our schools Lenin, the mass murderer, but we call it Earth Day. What's the relationship between environmentalism and occultism?
Well, of course, the Wicca-type religions, neo-pagan-type religions, are correctly called Earth religions. They believe that the Earth is a mother goddess. They even have a name for it. It's taken from ancient Greek mythology. They call her Gaia, and they worship the Earth. That's why you may see these bumper stickers, you know, where it'll say, you know, treat your mother right, and there's a picture of the planet Earth. And while I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with being good stewards of the environment, I think we need to understand that when you see these people that obviously treat animals better than they treat people and believe animal rights are equal to human rights, these people are operating from a pagan or neo-pagan mindset. Because the Bible clearly says that the Lord gave Adam and Eve, and by implication all humanity, dominion over the other animals. So, you know, there's obviously a contradiction there. But the whole emphasis on worshiping the earth, on evolution, all these things, this all ties in very strongly with paganism and with neo-paganism and witchcraft. It's totally the same thing.
And really, there's a sort of a spiritual environmentalism, and people really don't understand that this is basically a pagan concept of what worldview, a pagan worldview. And go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, because they, like, in our circles, we would believe there was a mother goddess and a father god, and then there was also the moon goddess, the great mother Diana, one of the names called, and there's an earth goddess who might be known as Hertha, and so on and so on, and these beings are worshipped. Rather, as it says in Romans 1, these people are worshipping the creature rather than the creator.
Well, how are we going to reach people with an understanding of what's going on? Because certainly our children in school are being indoctrinated in environmentalism, and with that, this new spirituality. But don't you dare mention the name of Jesus Christ, or even wear a cross or bring a Bible to school. That's just terrible. But you know, they're using our tax dollars to indoctrinate our children in eco-spirituality or in environmental spirituality, which is, of course, a religion within itself.
Oh, yes, yes. And it's a real uphill battle, because I'll tell you, I testified years ago, probably in the mid-90s, as an expert witness about the Impressions curriculum, which was a whole language reading program at that time was very popular, and the American Family Association was trying to keep it out of schools. And the case was lost because the judge says it's perfectly okay, according to the Constitution, to promulgate non-majority religions. That it's okay to promulgate paganism or Native Americanism or things like that. You just can't promulgate Christianity, because Christianity is perceived to be the majority religion in this country. So it's like when you've got judges like that on the bench, you know, they're obviously, you know, nitwits. It's like you really got an uphill battle on your hands.
Well, I don't know whether they're nitwits or they know exactly what they're doing. I believe the Supreme Court in 1963 knew exactly what it was doing. 1962, when it took God and prayer out of our schools, I think they had an agenda. And I think they've followed it through beautifully. They've destroyed the Christian heritage and foundation of this nation. And then we look around and we see all the things that are happening. And we say, how did this ever happen? Well, you take God out of a society, and you destroy that society. And, of course, our freedoms come from God. Our founding fathers recognized that in the Declaration of Independence. But that's why they had, of course, to take God out, because that's how you would destroy America.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes with Bill Sneplin. I want to get into Masonry and your influence, your ideas on its influence here in America, because there are about 2 million Masons in the United States today. I think most of them are gullible. I think that they don't understand what it's about, but I think the leaders do. And, of course, of the last 12 presidents, 6 of them have either been Masons or strongly tied into Masonry. And you have to ask yourself, what influence does this occult organization have on what's transpiring in our society today? And why won't any of our religious leaders speak out against it? We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America: the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something, they might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
We have a four-tape set. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. It comes with a transcript. It's the only one that we have. Actually, it is four interviews with Dr. Dinigan, who back in 1969 heard Dr. Richard Day, who at that time was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking about what he called the order. And this was the order that ran America. And he told how they had all sorts of plans to drastically reduce our population, to create new diseases. They had plans to withhold treatments for cancer, because there were too many people in the world. They were going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. It is probably one of the most amazing four-tape sets we have. I personally tracked down Dr. Dinigan and interviewed him myself. That's the fourth interview. Three interviews with Randy Engel, who's a pro-life activist, and then my interview, The New Order of the Barbarians. You want to get it. You want to listen to it. And then you want to make copies and help people to understand that most of what's going on today was planned a long time ago, but they just can't let the average American know that. And then we want to mention that there is going to be a meeting. It's a conspiracy conference. It's going to be over in Santa Clara on the 29th and 30th of this month. Next month. It's Memorial Day weekend, 29th and 30th of May. And Joyce Riley is going to be there. Rodney Stitch is going to be there. Dr. Len Horwitz is going to be there. Eric Hefschmidt is going to be there. I am not going to be speaking. I am going to be having a table, because I think it's an interesting meeting and well worthwhile attending. If you'd like to know more, why don't you call them at 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999, and make a reservation of white now while there's still seats available. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Bill Sneblin. And Bill, before I forget, I want you to give out your address. Now, I want you to know, as listening audience, we carry many of Bill's books. We carry his book on witchcraft and masonry beyond the light. And we carry a couple of his other books that you can call Mary at 1-800-544-8927 and get a list of the four or five books we carry of Bill's. But he's got a lot of other great information on UFOs, and he's written a book on that. Would you like to tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry?
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Dr. Stan. We can be reached at withoneaccord.org. That's our website. It would be withoneaccord.org, just like in the Book of Acts, with one accord. And you can reach us on the telephone by calling 563-583-5473. And we can also be reached in P.O. Box 457 in Dubuque, Iowa. That's D-U-B-U-Q-U-E, Iowa, and 52004.
All right, fine. And we've got Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, you have a question?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. Two quick questions, please. I thought it was so far it was only in Canada where it was to be found some nitwit judge that said only majority or non-majority religion can be taught. Where approximately was that, Bill?
This was in California. It was in some sort of a federal court. I forget the exact district or whatever, but this was in California that I was testifying.
Well, this would be the ninth district court, the federal court here. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, lastly, Bill, you had, I take to be an informed opinion, which two other guests came up empty on, and that was the Roman Catholic Secret Society, Opus Dei, necessarily or substantially evil, and God bless.
All right. Do you know anything about Opus Dei?
Got a question, I guess. Okay. Does he mean evil?
Right.
Okay. Well, I think it's a very dangerous society because it's like a lay apostle within the Roman Catholic Church. And don't get me wrong, there's thousands and thousands of wonderful Roman Catholics, but these people are very creepy, and they practice mortification of the flesh. They flog themselves. They wear barbed wire girdles, and they do all kinds of things that amount to mind control. And their devotion to the Holy See of Rome and all this stuff is just fanatical. But I think everyone I've met has been very dangerous and very creepy, and I would not advise being involved with anything like that.
All right, well, you know, when you get into a secret society, whether it's, Opus Dei or Masons or Rosicrucians or any of these secret societies, the Skull and Bones is another example, you've really sort of pledged your allegiance to the leadership for life, haven't you?
Well, that's pretty much it, barring, you know, asking Jesus Christ to save you from those organizations and renouncing them. You're stuck in there for life. I mean, I was told when I became a Satanist that the only way I would ever leave that organization was feet first in a box, and yet Jesus Christ set me free. But for the most part, you're right. These are lifelong commitments, and in some of these organizations, especially like the Skull and Bones, I mean, I don't think too many people get out of those groups without very grave consequences to both themselves and their families.
Well, you know, people say, oh, well, that's just a fraternity, a college fraternity. Well, I was in a college fraternity, and after I got out of college, I've never had anything to do with the people who were in my class, and this is the way that it is with most college fraternities. But Skull and Bones is different. You are bonded to those people for life, and you help them, they help you. You invite them to the White House when you become the president. You appoint them to key positions. They help to finance you. You keep their people in, well, like George Tenet is certainly the protege of a senator, who's a member of Skull and Bones of the Council on Foreign Relations, and of course Bill Clinton put him in there as chief of the CIA when Senator Boren, who was a member of the CFR, just like Bill, asked him to. And then when George Bush came in, his good friend Senator Boren, who was a member of Skull and Bones just like George Bush, apparently had interceded and asked that Tenet be kept on, which is the reason he stepped on. He's the only head of the CIA we've had who is for any period of time who's not been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, let's go to do you know anything at all about Skull and Bones before we get off that subject at all? Have you looked into that at all?
Yes, I'm not like a thoroughgoing expert as I would be on the Freemasons, but I understand that they go through some very strange ritual initiations. They have to lay in a coffin and tell all of their sexual indiscretions and confess this amongst themselves as part of their ceremonies. And you know, I mean, you hear stuff, but I don't know any firsthand knowledge. But I do know it sounds very ungodly and very evil. And if I was a Christian, as supposedly our current president is, I would renounce it.
I would certainly think that you would. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. I want to ask Bill if he knows anything about Reverend Gerald Robinson, who made the news today as a priest suspect in a nun's killing in a satanic ritual.
Boy, that's a new one on me. Robinson?
Yeah, Gerald Robinson.
I'm sorry, I never heard of the gentleman.
Okay.
He is a gentleman.
All right, fine. Well, you're on the cutting edge of this sort of thing. But, you know, the satanic rituals organizations are out there. You know, the whole thing of the Manson killings were tied into a satanic group, exactly as the Son of Sam's. And there's a wonderful book that goes into that, The Ultimate Evil, which you'll have a very hard time getting. Do you know that story at all, Bill?
Yes, I do. I read the book years ago, and I'm familiar with some of the principles involved. So, yeah, the whole thing of the process church and the, you know, Charles Manson cult, and then Charles Manson II, who's talked about in that book. That's actually a very genuine satanic network.
And had connections at the highest levels of our government, and that's the reason it's been covered up, and covered up by the media, too. They want you to think this was isolated crazies, like Charles Manson, lone crazy, or the Son of Sam, a lone killer. And he was part of this whole process church, a church of Satan right here in the United States, originated in England, but you're not going to read about that in your local newspaper.
No, that's one of the process church is one of the best kept secrets of modern day occultism, but it was very, very dangerous in its day.
And it's still very dangerous in my estimation. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I just wanted to, Bill, do you have an email link on your website? I'll send you this.
Yes, you can email us. There's a thing where you can click at the bottom, but my actual email address, if you want to bypass that, is just my last name, which is Doozy, S-C-H-N-O-E-B-E-L-E-N, and then number just 2, at msn.com.
Okay.
Mike, why don't you get that to me, too? You know how to reach me.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks so much. And so this sort of thing goes on. Certainly Malachi Martin had written about the satanic rituals that were actually held in the basement of the Vatican. Now, Malachi Martin was a Jesuit priest. He wrote his book, The Windswept House, which was fictional. But I asked him, is this really true? And he said, well, of course it's true, but, you know, I have to write it as fiction. But this is the sort of thing that's happened. This is not to say that everybody in the Vatican is a Satanist, but the Satanists have infiltrated the Vatican. They've infiltrated the Protestant church as well, so don't just sit there and smirk at the problems that they got in the Catholic church. We've got it in the Protestant church as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your take on the occult influence within Masonry? Because I think that Masonry in many ways is the doorway to the occult.
Well, yes, that's how what it's intended to be. But to back up to something you were talking about 10 minutes ago on that subject, it's interesting to note that most of the justices that were involved in these various abominable Supreme Court decisions, right up including Roe v. Wade, were mostly 33rd degree Masons. They are that's the ideology, this universalism, this lack of respect for life, all of this is part of the Masonic ideology. And of course, because Masonry, without anybody realizing it, when they join the Masons, don't think they're joining an occult organization. I did, but most do not. And as joining the Masons, you like open up a doorway in your spiritual life, if you're a Christian or even if you're not, and that allows spiritual influences to take over. And then if you go up into the Lodge Library, which of course is very sumptuously done, you'll find all sorts of books on esoteric philosophy, Manly P. Hall, the occult, the Kabbalah, things of that nature. So all this stuff is in there for anybody, and of course they're going to say, well, gee, if these are in the library, it must be okay. So that's how a lot of people get involved in the occult, is through getting, first of all, involved in Freemasonry.
And they really have no idea what they're getting into. They think this is just a sort of a men's club, a means of getting together. You'll have the support of these fellows. You'll get some financial support, good insurance, care for your family if you were to die. But, of course, you're doing this at the risk of your eternal soul. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Because the story is told, oh, if you get in the Masons, they'll help you with, you know, getting you a good job or, you know, things of that nature. And or you do it because relatives are in it and sort of a family expectation. But at that moment, you've knelt at the altar of Baal, you've sworn blood oaths that are ungodly in their character, and you basically have one foot in the kingdom of heaven if you're a Christian and the other foot in the kingdom of hell.
All right. Well, we've got Dan calling from Michigan. Dan, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was watching a show. It was on, I think, Friday night. I think it was Dateline NBC, and they dealt with a case in Texas where they had they was trying to try about half a town for a satanic murder, and then the state prosecutor, I think Attorney General of Texas, stepped in and kicked all the special prosecutors off the case, let them all go. It was like a two-hour special. I didn't catch all of it. I was flicking through channels and caught a little bit here.
I don't know anything about it. Do you, Bill?
No, that's a new one on me. But again, it would not surprise me.
I think, Dan, when you begin getting into this, you find out that these people have infiltrated our courts. They've infiltrated our DA's offices. There are all sorts of examples of this. The Franklin cover-up is a story of that. And at the highest levels of our society, this sort of thing goes on. You need to get our 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. You need to get our 4-tape set on Skull and Bones and find out how far this goes up in government. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Dan. Maybe we get more information on it, or if you get the information on that, give me a call off the air. I'd love to know about it.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was Dateline NBC on Friday night from 7 to 9, or 9, 8 to 9 or something, 10.
Once in a while, they get the truth out, and of course, then you never hear about it again.
Well, my problem was, I don't know what the truth is. Maybe it was a couple of special prosecutors trying to frame some innocent people.
Maybe it
was. Call them Satanists, or maybe it was Satanists that got higher ups to let them go. I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling, Dan. I sure don't know either, but I think it's rather frightening to think of this sort of thing goes on, and it's not really discussed very well. Now, how did you get from Masonry on into Satanism? Because we know, for instance, that Aleister Crowley had commented that he had been a member of the of Masons, a 33rd degree Mason, for a number of years before he was promoted to the highest levels. You got up there pretty rapidly, didn't you?
Well, yeah, and that's because, of course, as time approaches, the devil makes it easier for people to get deeper and deeper into spiritual doo-doo. So what like, you see, it used to take many years to go through the Masonic ranks because you had to do all this memory work. I had to do a little bit of it, which is where you memorize all these ritual sayings and everything, but it was much easier for me and my generation in the 70s than it would have been, you know, say, you know, 90 years earlier for someone like Crowley. But of course, he also was involved with the Golden Dawn, which is another high-level occult society, and that made it much easier for him to go through the ranks, because virtually everybody in the Golden Dawn was also a high-level Freemason. So it's all about who you know.
In fact, we have a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends, which is a must listening to for anybody who really wants to get the background of what's going on. The information is available. It's just you have to know where to get it, and this is why I do what I do. And this is why Bill does what he does, to make his knowledge available to you in a number of books. And we carry, of course, Witchcraft, Masonry Behind the Light. Is there a book just Masonry?
My book is called Masonry Beyond the Light.
Masonry Beyond the Light,
right,
that's the one,
yes,
we carry, which we think is an excellent book. You need to have the understanding of what's going on today. What about the Masonic influence within our government? Now, you mentioned these Supreme Court decisions. That's rather frightening to think that they get into our courts and they make our laws.
Yes, they do. And of course, plus that the same thing happens at the local level, at the state level, at the county level, where a lot of times these people are involved in positions of power. And of course, one thing just to mention what was mentioned a few minutes ago and underscore it, is that the first thing a satanic group will do when they move into the community is they will do whatever they can to co-opt people like the local judges, the local sheriff or police chief or whatever. They will try and corrupt those people and get them on their side by hook or by crook. And then they have free reign. And the same thing to a lesser degree happens with the Freemasons, because with the Freemasons, you've got this good old boy network where you swear an oath. If you're a third degree Mason, you swear an oath that you will not tell the dirty deeds of another Mason except for murder and treason. So if you know you've got a fellow Mason that's a pedophile or a thief or an embezzler or whatever, you can keep that a secret. You're not allowed to tell that, even if you're an officer of the court.
Now, isn't there another point when you get to a certain higher level that, of course, you're sworn to protect that person even if he is guilty of murder or treason?
That's true. That's in the seventh degree of the York Rite, Royal Arch degree.
All right. So people do not understand you cannot have a free society when you have secret societies in it. I don't care whether it's a Opus Dei or whether it's Masonry or Rosicrucians or whatever it may be, but they're there. They're here in the United States. And the fact that you're not hearing about it or you're not seeing stories about this on television, I think, is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think.
Yeah, in our experience, there's just as much child molestation and things of that nature going on in Masonic families and in Masonic lodges as has happened, has come out in the open with the Roman Catholic Church. It's just the Masons have better control over the media than the Catholics do.
Well, that's not a very good commentary on what's going on in the America today. I think you're absolutely right. I think that there is an organized effort to conceal this entity of evil, this doorway to the occult that exists within our society. And it's once said that, you know, if once they can convince us they don't exist, at that point they will have won. And they've done a pretty good job at convincing the American people that all of this is just something you see on television, but it doesn't exist in the real world.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, you have these, I call them tame conservative commentators on TV or radio that will say, if you start talking about this sort of thing, they'll call you a wacko. And they'll just immediately hang up on you.
Well, fortunately, that won't happen here at Radio Liberty. We're about out of time, Bill. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, I think people need to really wake up and, you know, smell a brimstone. I think they need to understand that these things are going on out there, and we're warned in the scriptures. We are not to be ignorant of what the devil is doing. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. So I think people need to pray and be alert and really pray for our country, pray for our leaders, but also to be aware, even in local communities, that this stuff is going on, and they need to really especially pray for their children to be kept safe, because that's who these people want. They want your children.
They want their souls. Well, we've got Rick calling from Texas. We're out of time. Rick, I'll talk to you after the program if you'd like. Otherwise, thanks so much for being with us, Bill. It's always a pleasure. Give that telephone number and website one more
time. Sure, yes. It's withoneaccord.org is our website, withoneaccord.org, or you can also call us at 563-583-5473.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being
with
us.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. The video that you'd want to get on Oklahoma City would be Cover Up in Oklahoma, and it's excellent. It has a lot of suppressed footages shot in Oklahoma City and the environs there immediately after the bombing, and you'll hear stories there. You find it difficult to believe, because none of this footage was ever shown across America, just in Oklahoma City, and then blacked out across this country. So we've never been told the truth, the fact that the government had prior knowledge, the fact that Timothy McVeigh, according to his defense lawyer, Stephen Jones, in his book, Oklahoma City, Others Unknown was the title, Others Unknown, the Oklahoma City Bombing Conspiracy. Timothy McVeigh was a member of special forces involved in illegal activity. That's what he wrote to his sister. That's how Stephen Jones opened the defense. I bet you didn't hear about that from ABC, CBS, or NBC. Because think of the implications. If Timothy McVeigh really worked for the CIA and special forces, because special forces worked for the CIA, what does that suggest about what really happened at Oklahoma City? Well, there's so much to the story that most people will never know or will never accept, but the video cover-up in Oklahoma City, we recommend to you. We even have an Oklahoma City bombing special with several 4-tape sets and a couple of videos. Give you the information you need to understand what really transpired, because we never heard the truth about Oklahoma City. And because we didn't get the truth about Oklahoma City, we had September 11th, and yet there are similarities. I almost think it was almost as if they wanted to see if they could really pull the wool over the American people's eyes, make them believe something that was really not true at all, because there was so much evidence there. For instance, this very day, do you know that all of the videos the FBI took are still being suppressed today? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will make it a point to consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours a day on radio, shortwave, internet, satellite, and we've reached people all across this country. And you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the internet, the first hour on the American Freedom Network, the second hour on the GCNlive.com, and the third hour either on RadioLiberty.com or GCNlive.com, and then the evening programs on RadioLiberty.com. So that's 5 hours a day. And then if you get have a lot more time, why, you can listen to some of our archives. And I don't expect you to listen that much, but I hope that you will listen and tell other people about our program and get our information and help us get the truth out across America, the truth you're not going to get elsewhere, with an understanding of the spiritual component to everything that's going on. There really is a devil. There really are demonic forces. There really is a spiritual dimension to everything that's going on, and we're being led into World War III, and the average American has no idea what lies ahead for this country. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you'll join us in this epic struggle to try to reach the American people. And that's what it's really all about, is reaching people and hoping and praying that if we do our best, that somehow God will intervene before his vengeance and wrath falls upon this country. And the only way it's going to happen is when enough people begin to understand what's really going on. So if you'd like to join us in this spiritual battle, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you'll learn what was discussed at the secret cabinet meetings held in the White House in January and February of the year 2001, 8 to 9 months before the attack on the World Trade Center buildings. You'll be fascinated what they were talking about. And, of course, what William Odom, former head of the NSA, the most secret of our intelligence agencies, said in his book about the CIA having assassination teams, or at least assassinating people, about the CIA having people planted in the media, about the military keeping dossiers on American citizens. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you out there will want to get a copy of Dr. Russell Blaylock's book we talked about during the last hour, and that was Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, or Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. Those are available from Radio Liberty. Our four-tape set is entitled Life-Saving Secrets. You really want to get that. If you don't like reading, why, you can hear Dr. Russell Blaylock talking about so many of the things we talk about on his programs. Certainly, we hope that you'll want to get our four-tape set on the Skull and Bone Society, because nobody has anything similar to that, or the various material we have, the Secrets of the Tomb, the book America's Secret Establishment, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones, or, of course, the membership list of all of the people we got from somebody who, took a tremendous chance and let us borrow the membership list and the history of everybody going back to 1832 when this occult secret organization was formed. It's called Skull and Bones. And we have two Skull and Bones people vying for the presidency in November. Isn't it interesting? Only 15 people a year are admitted to this secret organization, and two of them are running for the presidency in November. Well, there's lots more going on behind the scenes that most people don't know about. You want to get our four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove as well, nothing quite like it. And then pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.